Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Wednesday, July 21st, is the feast of St. Lawrence of Brindisi, Capuchin priest and a doctor of the Church. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis thanks the rector of the Sacred Heart Catholic University for the care he received at Gemelli Hospital. The bishops of the United States have expressed their support for the people of Cuba. And authorities in Nigeria say more than 100 people kidnapped in July have been released. At the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story, in a letter to the rector of the Sacred Heart Catholic University, Pope Francis expresses his gratitude for the care he received during his recent hospitalization at the Gemelli Hospital, which is associated with the school. Pope Francis noted that the university, which is celebrating the 100th anniversary of its foundation, bears within its name the vocation of caring for the human person. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
Pope Francis on Wednesday sent a message to the rector of the Sacred Heart Catholic University, Franco Anelli, in appreciation for the professional care and concern he received during his recent hospitalization at Rome's Agostino Gemelli Hospital. The Gemelli Hospital is one of the largest in Rome and serves as the teaching hospital for the medical school of the Sacred Heart Catholic University. It owes its name to the Italian Franciscan friar, physician and psychologist Agostino Gemelli. The Pope's letter comes a week after returning from a 10-day hospitalization for a scheduled surgery for diverticular stenosis of the colon. Following the successful operation, the Pope returned to the Vatican on the 14th of July. Pope Francis in the letter said that having returned home after his stay in the hospital, he would like to address a grateful and affectionate thought for the closeness he experienced and for the professionalism of all those who took care of him. The Pope also noted that his hospitalization happened during the year in which the university marks its centenary anniversary, an anniversary, the Pope noted, which is celebrated with the tag, A Century of the Future. Reflecting on his stay in the hospital, the Holy Father said that care is an expression of the heart, and the Sacred Heart Catholic University bears in its name the vocation of taking care of the human person. He went on to testify of his personal experience of witnessing how there is no time for nostalgia or regrets about the past at the Gemelli Hospital. Rather, attention is given to the flesh of Christ suffering in the sick of every age and condition, which requires a present and attentive gaze capable of instilling hope in moments of fatigue and of looking ahead. It is true, the Pope affirmed, that the cultural and integral promotion of the human person opens the door to the future. The Holy Father concluded by reiterating his expression of gratitude and imparting a blessing on the rector, his loved ones, and all those who make up the family of the Sacred Heart Catholic University. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Following some of the largest anti-government protests in Cuba that the country has seen in decades, the bishops of the neighboring United States have expressed support for the people of Cuba and for the country's bishops, who have called for a favorable solution through mutual listening. Since July 11th, citizens of Cuba have been expressing their frustration for an economic and health crisis that has seen shortages of basic goods, medicine, power outages, and a poor handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Robin Gomes tells us more.
Cuba's protests that have been described as the largest anti-government demonstrations since the Maliconazo uprising in 1994 also vented the people's anger against curbs and civil liberties. Security forces responded, cracking down heavily on demonstrators, detaining scores of activists. As protests continue in Cuba and among the diaspora in the United States, we would like to express our solidarity, as well as that of our brother bishops in the United States, with our brothers in the Cuban episcopate, and with all men and women of goodwill in Cuba, read a statement by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB, released late Monday. The U.S. bishops' statement was jointly signed by USCCB President Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles and Bishop David Malloy of Rockford, chairman of the Bishops' Committee on International Justice and Peace. They expressed support for the Cuban bishops, who in their statement on July 12 said that a favorable solution would not be reached by impositions nor by calling for confrontation, but through mutual listening, where common agreements are sought and concrete tangible steps are taken that contribute with the contribution of all Cubans without exception to the building up of the fatherland. In this spirit, the U.S. bishops urged the United States to seek the peace that comes from reconciliation and concord between the two countries. Archbishop Gomez and Bishop Malloy wrote, "For decades, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, in conjunction with the Holy See and the Cuban bishops, has called for robust cultural and commercial engagement between the United States and Cuba as a means to assist the island in achieving greater prosperity and social transformation." The statement concluded, urging that Our Lady of Charity, the patroness of Cuba, watch over her children in Cuba, and that together Cuba and the U.S. can grow in friendship in the interests of justice and peace. I am Robin Gomes.
In Africa, police in Nigeria's northwestern state of Zamfara have said they have secured the release of about 100 villagers who had been kidnapped in early June. The release comes following negotiations with the abductors. Francesca Merlo has that story.
Authorities in northwest Nigeria say that they have freed 100 women and children, mainly mothers nursing infants, who were seized by bandits. The group had been abducted on the 8th of June in Zamfara state and were allegedly released following negotiations with their abductors. Four people were also killed during the incident. The Zamfara state government said they were released without any ransom being paid, but gave no further details. The group will now be given medical checks and debriefed before they return to their homes. They had been brought to a forest hideout after bandits stormed Manawa village. Northwest and central Nigeria have in recent years fallen prey to gangs of cattle thieves and kidnappers who raid villages, killing and kidnapping residents in addition to stealing livestock after looting and burning homes. Since December 2020, more than 1,000 people have been abducted in Zamfara state alone. Most have later been freed, reportedly after ransoms were paid, but some have been killed. The criminals have begun to focus on raiding schools and kidnapping students for ransom. Hostages are usually released after ransom payment, but with those families who fail to pay often being killed by the captors. These groups operate from camps in the vast Rugu forest, which cuts across Zamfara, Katsina and Kaduna states in Nigeria, as well as in neighbouring Niger. Since a well-publicized abduction in 2014 of 276 schoolgirls from Chibok Secondary School by Boko Haram Islamist militants in Borno State, more armed groups have resorted to mass abduction of students. President Muhammadu Buhari has directed the military to flush out criminals in Zamfara and the neighboring states of Kaduna and Katsina. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Elsewhere in world news, several rockets were fired at Afghanistan's presidential palace in Kabul on Tuesday, but failed to hit their target. Nathan Morley has the latest.
An Afghan security statement said at least three rockets landed near the presidential palace, disrupting an outdoor prayer ceremony attended by the Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani. The attack was heard across the heavily fortified Green Zone, which houses the palace and several embassies, including the American mission. There were no injuries and the rockets landed outside the palace grounds, according to a statement from the Interior Minister. It was the first rocket attack on Kabul since the Taliban launched a series of offensives to coincide with the final drawdown of foreign troops. The foreign troop withdrawal is scheduled to be complete by the end of next month. The last major assault on the presidential palace took place last year, when hundreds of people gathered to watch President Ghani's inauguration ceremony. Earlier this week, 15 diplomatic missions in Afghanistan urged the Taliban to halt their military offensives. The call came less than a day after rival Afghan sides failed to agree on a ceasefire at a peace meeting in Doha. On Monday, the Taliban said both sides agreed on the need to speed up peace talks in order to find a fair and permanent solution as soon as possible. However, there was no mention of a halt to the escalating violence. Following on the heels of many foreign troops, the French government flew out 100 of its citizens and Afghans who work at the embassy earlier this week. At the same time, India, China, Germany and Canada have also flown out their citizens or told them to leave as the security situation worsens. The Taliban were quick to capitalize on the pullout of US and other foreign troops to launch this latest series of offensives. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
From the world of sport, ahead of the opening ceremony for the 32nd Olympic Games in Tokyo on Friday, the Tokyo Archdiocese has announced it's canceling its pastoral program for athletes due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Lydia Kane has that story.
With just days to go until the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games in Tokyo, Japan, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to plague the country. To date, Japan has recorded 848,000 infections and more than 15,000 deaths, which has forced the revision of all programs on the calendar and is preventing viewing by spectators in the stands. The health security measures also affect the local archdiocese, which has announced the cancellation of a pastoral program designed to accompany athletes and all participants during the Games. In a note, the Archbishop of Tokyo explains it was planned that each parish could take care of the spiritual needs of all athletes, but now we have decided to cancel these initiatives due to security issues. Among the events planned by a special diocesan Olympic committee was an international mass to be celebrated in the local cathedral and the creation of a special rosary to be given to all participants in the Games. But now the Tokyo metropolitan area has been placed in a state of emergency by the government. As a result, athletes will not be able to leave the Olympic village, nor will priests have access to it. The Archbishop is therefore inviting all places of worship to respect the anti-COVID health measures and is urging athletes to refrain from visiting churches because the commitment of the Catholic community and of everyone must be to prevent further contagion, he says. We have implemented security measures, the Archbishop reiterated, because we take seriously the responsibility of everyone to protect not only their own lives, but also the lives of others, preventing the spread of contagion. The liturgical celebrations will still be broadcast online. The Archbishop's note, however, did conclude on a note of optimism. The rainy season is over in Tokyo, and last night a rainbow appeared in the sky, a symbol of hope, he said. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Finally, the Holy See Press Office has released the itinerary for Pope Francis's apostolic visit to Budapest and Slovakia. The Holy Father's journey will take place from September 12th through the 15th, 2021. Thaddeus Jones has the details.
Pope Francis will depart Rome's Fiumicino International Airport on Sunday, September 12th, arriving at Budapest's International Airport at 7:45 in the morning. Following an official welcome, the Pope will meet with the country's bishops and with representatives of the Ecumenical Council of Churches and Jewish communities. In the afternoon, the Pope will preside over the Mass for the closing of the 52nd International Eucharistic Congress before departing for Bratislava, Slovakia. In fact, Monday the 13th marks the start of the Slovakia visit, and highlights of the Pope's first day there include a courtesy visit to the President of the Republic, as well as meetings with political leaders and an encounter with bishops, priests, and religious. On Tuesday morning, Pope Francis will depart for Košice, where he'll preside over the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. Later in the day, he will meet with the Roma community and with young people before flying back to Bratislava. And on the final day of his visit to Slovakia, Pope Francis will preside over Mass at the National Shrine in Šeštín. Following a farewell ceremony, the Pope will depart for Rome at 3:30 in the afternoon. The full itinerary with dates, times, places, events, and celebrations can be found on VaticanNews.va. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also follow us on the Vatican News English section at Facebook page and through our Twitter account. Many thanks to our technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.